to remind all participants this conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Thank you very much, Kelly. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the Who Is Working Group call on the 6th of August, 2012. On the call today, we have Wilson Abigaba, Don Blumenthal, Zan Prosser, and Michael Young. Sinta Suknanan will be joining us in 30 minutes. We have an apology from Steve Metallis. And from staff, we have Barry Cobb and myself, Natalie Peregrine. I'd like to remind all participants to please state their names for speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you.
All right. Thank you very much. That was great. How you do that so smoothly? I mean, you must do it a zillion times, but you sound like a newscaster when you introduce these calls. It's fantastic. Barry, do you want to just review the agenda with us real quick and see if anyone wants to add anything more in? Because I think we're just going to jump into reviewing the questions otherwise.
Yeah, that's pretty much all we have.
Okay. Does anyone want to add anything more to the agenda, anything that we hadn't planned?
This is Barry. I think that there's probably one thing that we should talk about, and maybe we can go ahead and talk about it now before we get started, is, you know, we are about halfway through the public comments, and we probably ought to start thinking about what our next steps are to actually get the survey published. First and foremost is, you know, once we've updated the questions and made any changes or corrections per the comments and for other suggestions, where will the survey be hosted? You know, what will the actual URL be? Will it reside on one of the isoc.ug servers where we had the draft, or is it going to be promoted to a more production-based server? And then the second aspect, which is really just all on my to-do, is once we've left the final version of the survey, then we'll start sending out communications to all the constituencies and stakeholder groups, as well as advertising, just kind of like we do for a public comment about the availability of the survey, and you know, be open for other suggestions on how we communicate its availability. So I guess the first question, Wilson, what do you envision on where the final survey will be hosted? Will it be on the same instance as what we did for the draft survey? And
Wilson?
Yeah, do you want me to confirm something?
Wilson, the question to you is, once we've updated the final version of the survey, where do you see this being hosted at? Is it going to be on the same ISOC server that that we used for the draft survey?
Yes, it's available for use. If you'd like to use it. For me, I'm out. I'm fine with it, and it's available for use.
Okay. Can we set up a URL that points to the survey, though, Wilson, that's not, that's maybe a little bit more blasé and generic, so that people are able to differentiate an invitation to the survey from any kind of association with, you know, a commercial effort or phishing or anything like that. We should make it really clear by trying to use a recognizable URL. And, I mean, for that purpose, I wonder if we can't get something set up to point to that server from out of ICANN's domain space. Barry, that's one thing that I worry about.
This is Barry. I will definitely get with the IT guys. I wouldn't see it being a problem about getting something like ICANN.org/whois survey
or something
like that.
Yeah, and then point it toward wherever Wilson wants to mount it up, right?
No, it's absolutely fine with me. I'll just give you the technical requirements I need, like just a database and PHP installed on the server. That's all I would need.
Wilson, what we were saying is you could put it on the servers that you're using if you want, and that's easier. I'm just talking about setting up a URL that points towards your servers so that we're actually, when people follow the URL link, they're feeling secure about using that link to a survey because it's underneath ICANN's domain space.
Yeah, it would be fine with me. But an alternative could also be that if the ICANN can provide a server with PHP and MySQL, I can also install it there.
That's even better. Barry, can you look into that?
Barry, I'll ask. If it is available to do, I suspect that it may take time to do it, which would delay us getting this out to the public even further. But I'll take the action to ask ICANN internal for both the URL and for hosting.
Yeah. Wilson, do you want to send an email to Barry that specifies exactly what you'd like in terms of someone that gave
you the
server? Okay.
Yeah, sure. I'll send an email with the specification of the server.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you. And so then the second half is how we communicate this out. As I mentioned, most definitely within the GNSO, and the other SOs and ACs will be able to send, basically through the mailing list to communicate the availability of the survey, as well as
your Twitter feed.
We can have ICANN Communications send out a couple of Twitter
tweets. Okay, that'd be great. Is there anything else traditionally that's done to notify the related communities?
I'll ask. We could probably maybe try to get a splash page on the homepage of ICANN.org as well for, at least a week or two once we first release it. So I'll investigate that as well.
Can we see if we can't get the some of the RIRs and even ISOC and the ITF and so forth to maybe retweet ICANN's tweet to their communities, just to see if we can get more people who have a vested interest in who is to take a look at the survey. And there's an ITF liaison, right, to ICANN.
What was the last part, Michael?
Isn't there not a standing IETF liaison to ICANN? Can we use that position?
On the board, I'm pretty sure there is, but I'm not sure. I think it's only at the board level. But I'll ask around in terms of some of the other technical guys in ICANN to see about passing the communications to the RIRs and ISOC.
Yeah, and Don, I'm sure you won't mind posting to Weirds because you've already put a couple of things to Weirds, right?
Yeah.
So that would be a great list to get started. But Barry, I guess my point with the ITF is not everyone subscribes to the general announce list. And even if one group gets something that's interesting, one working group, they don't necessarily go and post it in the general announce list. And there's lots of people that may not be actively involved in Weirds, but that may have something interesting to say around like maybe the guys in the DNS Ops group or something like that, right?
Right.
So, yeah, getting something posted in their general mailing list might be helpful.
Right. I'll definitely take a look at that. And then, the last suggestion is maybe if we got this done, we could do a commercial for the Olympics. All righty. Any other discussion points about, turning this thing on? I think that covers the two things that I had thought about.
That gives you everything you need?
For now, yep.
Okay, good.
All right, so let's jump over back into the public comments, unless anybody has anything else.
Going once, going twice. Nope. Okay. Let's go.
We left off at the last meeting on row 32. This is unknown, and it was from the survey tool. The first comment is noticed a whole lot of typos, especially missing spaces between words. And then the second comment is on yes-no questions. Something that looks like a condition with possible options is confusing. And I think with respect to the first comment, we're covering those as we come across the comments through the public comment tool. We've already made some changes. And then, of course, I think that we'll also be doing a final review across the working group to catch any other typos and space missing spaces and stuff like that as well. And any comments on the second, the yes-no question? The only one that I see that's in this section is question number 37, do you support the use of standardized handling of error conditions within the WHOIS system?
So that, again, just falls into an editing pass, right?
Maybe. I'm actually kind of confused by what the person's listing here.
So what do you think they're referring to then on, we're looking at 32, number 2, what do you think they're referring to? And I've got the PDF open again if we're referring back to that.
You know, again, there's two yes-no questions, 35 and 37 in this section, but it seems pretty clear to me that it's one of the two options. So I'm personally kind of confused by the comment.
Yeah, I don't know. That's why I suggested I don't see them. That's why I suggested we do another editing pass. We've got typos and so forth still to correct anyways.
Right.
And that's just a general editing pass?
Right. Okay, moving on to 33, typo on question, please suggest such error conditions within the WHOIS system, missing a space between such and error, and I've documented in our action that we'll just add the space to question 38. All right, that takes care of section 6 of the survey. We'll be moving on to section 7. Which is submitting WHOIS queries for domain names. The first comment, again, is unknown. Wildcard search is nice, even nicer for marketing purpose or intellectual property robes. I have here to list as the working group response is noted as an opinion but not survey related. Any other comments in that regard?
Barry, can you slide the screen up a little bit more?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Again, anybody disagree that this is more opinion related versus a survey adjustment related?
I find all of Section 6 to be opinion based.
Well, except for 36, which we'll get to.
Yeah.
So if nobody objects, then I'll move on to 35 real quick. These questions were for general users. Listed as the working group response that will refer back to comment 20, which is kind of the master, and that's going to be one final step after we do our final review, is to maybe look at each section and listing out who the possible user types to answer the questions may be, or at least referring to the skills required to answer the question. So I listed that, a recommended action is none. row 36, as a representative of a constituency, I'd rather answer on behalf of not just myself and my needs. The wording of the questions on this page are specific to me and my personal needs, which I think may be too narrow.
That misses the point to me.
Yeah, do we want to have a constituency, if the constituency is willing to answer the survey as an individual? We don't have a specific mechanism, so how would we do that? And should we do that? Traditionally, Barry, has ICANN allowed that?
I certainly I'm only 3 years into this. My takeaway is really that it's kind of up to the constituency if they choose to enter one in as a collective. But again, we're not really taking identification of the survey takers, so we really have no way of knowing. And unless we did that, minus what we're doing in the profile, minus that, I'm not sure that it would really make that much of a difference. Because, for example, the business constituency may decide to submit the survey as one on their own, but there's certainly nothing preventing from any of the individuals in the BC from taking the survey as well, nor would we have a way to try to gatekeep that. So any communication in that regard may be a little confusing.
So how do we how do they identify themselves as a user of the survey? Wilson, if they want to come in as a constituency. If they choose, I assume if they're coming in on behalf of the constituency, they're going to identify themselves.
Barry, the only way that they would really identify themselves, again, is just from the profile. And I think that we ask if they belong to a business or a constituency or not.
In the very beginning of it, this is Susan, we do ask not specifically if they're a constituency within the ICANN organization. We do. Non-commercial, governmental, but not by terms of if it's part of the BC or the NGO. Just as a single user.
Okay.
Does that need to be defined better? In the very beginning?
Do you mean, Susan, by that, put a question there that says, are you representing a constituency or a group?
Well, if that's what the question 36 is, or comment 36 is defining, they want to know that the survey taker is representing the constituency, an ICANN specific constituency.
Mm-hmm. So in our clarifying questions on identity at the on around the individual taking the survey at the beginning, we should just add in a question then, to, are you representing an interest group or a constituency? And then can we create a drop-down list of all the ICANN recognized? Maybe we should allow them to do it freeform. Yep.
Barry, now that I read the second sentence, the wording of the questions on this page are specific to me and my personal needs, which I think may be too narrow. Do you think that he or she could be pointing at the fact of, like, questions 42 through 44 or 45? Do you need...
Oh, I see what you mean, yeah. Do they just want to make them more generic?
Yeah, instead of second person, make them third person or no person.
Right.
Yeah, let's just drop out the personalization in all those questions.
And
she would say, is there a need to include, exclude? Right. 43. Is there a need for the ability to search by wild card? 44. Is there a need for the ability to search in native language?
All right, cool.
Barry, how long are we scheduled for the call today?
Technically 2 hours, but we can go an hour and a half or however long we want to really go.
Okay. Well, let's just see how far we get for an hour and a half. Susan, Don, can you guys do an hour and a half today?
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
You know, I'll have to cut if we go over 2 hours, but I'm okay for what we're scheduled for.
Okay.
Yeah.
A general typographical suggestion. At some point, we could probably do a search and replace. There's a lot of, and actually, I just lost it. There's a lot of A running together and a lot of such error running together. It's kind of a repeated problem. And I'm seeing more as I look here beyond what was mentioned in the comments.
Right, you're correct, Don. I think after we get most of these major changes in, then we'll have to probably. I think what we'll more or less need to do is once Wilson makes the changes to the actual survey questions, he'll stand it up again and turn it on so that we in the working group can go back and review through the actual survey itself. And then I think collectively what we'll probably need to do is if we find those specific errors, then we'll just have to send them an email to the list saying, you know, question 45, words 3 and 4 need a space between them. Because unfortunately, Wilson's basically the only one that has access to make any edits to this.
Oh, I know. I was just suggesting that the consistent error that might be solved with one operation itself.
Okay, cool.
Folks, I'm just gonna. I need to grab a power cord because I'm running out of juice on this laptop. I'll be right back.
Okay. So moving on to row 37, lookup of anything other than the domain name should be explicitly banned. I believe we agree that this is opinion related. And number 38, there's no excuse for not handling Unicode. It's not the 20th century anymore. Unfortunately, searching in Puny Code is also necessary, and I think we agreed that this was an opinion as well. Okay, hearing no comments, so that takes us to the next section, adoption of a structured data model for WHOIS. And the first comment is row 39. So much technical beating around the bush that is ultimately dependent on your preference regarding the details of either a thick WHOIS or a thin WHOIS.
Huh?
My guess is that this is probably more opinion related.
Come back.
We just started section 7, row 39.
Yeah, 39 seems like an opinion.
Yeah.
That was 40.
If there was any way to decide a common policy across GTLDs and CCTLDs on mandatory fields, then yes, I'd support that. I think opinion as well.
Yeah, it's interesting, but it's still opinion.
Okay. Row 41, items 1, 4, 5, and 6 are for technical users. Item 1 may also be for general users if extensible is defined. then items 2, 3, 7, 8, and 9 are probably good for all.
Did I not catch extensible in the definitions that I did before?
You know, I think we implemented those after this PDF was generated. I'm not sure if we can...
Okay. So I think this might be solved then.
Right. I will take a working group or the recommended action that we should define extensible or at least check to make sure that it has on the live survey.
I've just got to jump back here. Okay, I'm a little confused. Just want to make sure I'm looking at the right documents. And I'm looking at question 41 on the PDFs, and I've only got 7 options.
We're actually on questions 46 now.
How do we get from 41 to 46?
Because we moved into the section, we're only just reviewing the comments from the tool, and row 39 started section 7, adoption of a structured data model for WHOIS.
Right.
And so on page of 13 of the PDF is question 46 for requirement 6A.
Right, I apologize. I'm thoroughly confused right now.
All right. No worries. So I think number in terms of the comment, item 1 is question 46. Item 2 is 47 and so forth. And so if I'm counting that correctly, there should be 9 questions in this section, which I think that's the case. Correct, yep, 9 questions.
I'm just going to have to step back because I have no clue right now what's going on. And I'm tracing what's on my screen, which is section 7 starting with question 39.
Right, so Don, look at 41 in section 7.
Right.
Okay, so items 1, 4, 5, and 6. Section 7, now bounce over to the PDF of the questions that we've been using. And
oh, so it's not the items in the question itself.
Right.
He really should be stating questions 1, 4, 5, and 6 are for technical users.
All right.
Instead of items.
I got it. Okay, I'm back.
So 41 just seemed pretty editorial except for the extensible comment, and I think we cover that in our hover definitions. So we should be okay then.
Yeah, and we'll just take the action to make sure that it is defined on the survey tool.
42 just sounds like someone not technical enough to answer that.
Yep.
Which is okay. There will be people that can't answer these questions. Information. What do they mean by forcing mandatory fields will lead to registrars entering false information? Do they mean mandatory WHOIS data?
I think so, and the person suggesting that nobody's going to enter everything. If you force mandatory fields, you're going to get false data, and that's just nonsense.
Well, yeah, plus that train left the station a long time ago.
That's it.
M44 seems to be
the number one that was mandatory.
Yeah. No, I think they're talking about, Wilson, is not our questions being mandatory, but the general implementation of ICANN GTLD, who is since the thick registries occurred, require registrars to populate the registry's central WHOIS with required data.
Yeah, yeah. Question 53 addresses that.
53 and 54. And 44 sounds like some more commentary. But it doesn't, I don't know that we have any action on 44 either.
Very, I agree.
So unless anyone has any other suggestions on changing, I think Section 7, that closes Section 7 off.
Nothing so.
Okay, moving on to Section 8, which is extending the currently defined set of registration data elements. Row 45, WHOIS information should be restricted to a limited population with legitimate needs like LEAs. This would require a policy and a technical mechanism for identifying who makes a query.
It's an interesting proposal, but it's kind of out of our scope, isn't it?
I would think so. It's more policy related than necessarily
functionality. And certainly the functionality that that's described or questions asked about includes the ability to create tiered access or tiered user groups. So if someone wanted to, if they were in a particular regime where they used a WHOIS service and their policy supported this type of behavior, there's no reason that the functionality that we've been asking questions about would allow them to do this if that's what they wanted to do.
But don't we ask some WHOIS questions in the survey?
We ask WHOIS questions. We ask questions about authentication and tiered access. So that covers all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think, Barry, we have anything for this one. We don't need to do anything for this one.
Okay, got that documented. Next one of our common comment, these items are for general users, again, pointing back to comment 20. Row 47, typo, it should be possible to collect contact information using a local address format space for WHOIS. Needs to be a space there.
Okay.
What question number is that?
Barry, can I make a suggestion?
Yes.
And I'll ask if the group's comfortable with this, but I'm personally comfortable with if anytime there's, like, typos in these comments, you can go through and just process them over to Wilson to fix the typos. I don't think we need to agree to fix spelling mistakes and typos as a working group, unless someone objects to that.
Yep, it was me.
Okay. So, Barry, I think you have our support just to go ahead and process those ones.
Okay. Does anybody catch which question that one is referring to right offhand?
It should be possible to collect.
There is, I think, possibly question 60, information. This is Susan.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
Thank but you. Also 57 has one as well.
Yeah, I found 57. Cool.
And there's one at 59.
We're not doing so good.
Okay, great. Moving on to 48, the social media contacts are only of use to spammers. Previous history needs to be kept, but there are privacy issues that need to be addressed.
Okay, keeping my personal opinions out of it, the first sentence is an opinion. The second one is interesting. I don't know that it requires us to change our questions. Interesting.
Yeah. Definitely more policy related than...
It is. It's interesting, though, because it does infer in functionality, because it infers that, you know, who was has to have certain privacy. It's inferring that there should be certain technical capabilities around privacy in regards to who was information. And again, I think that that's reflected in the tier permissions questions that we ask, because if you have the ability to create dedicated access groups with different capabilities of accessing information, that type of structure or functionality would also apply to who was data as well. Well, that might not be obvious in our survey. Do we need to change anything to make that more obvious in our survey? I'm going to suggest that we just write a note to consider that when we get to the when we look at the tier permissions authentication framework, which is just below.
Okay. Right. Moving on to the next one, 49, historical info may be available on a subscription cost model only. That's probably more opinion related.
Yeah, it almost sounds like business development. So it's interesting, but it's out of our scope, I think.
Hey.
Folks, if I throw out an idea or a comment, please jump in there and disagree with me if you have any problem with it. I'm just doing this to help keep the flow going quickly for us.
Okay, great. Moving on to Section 9, internationalized registration data requirements. The only comment we have is just outlining the user types in terms of ability to answer the questions, and then I went ahead and wrote in here just to confirm that ULABEL, ALABEL, and US ASCII are defined on our survey tool.
Yeah, I think I recall doing all of those, but let's just check our Hover definitions.
Okay. All right, moving on to Section 10, Row 51. Should this elevated access right to be granted to automatic computer systems or people carrying out a task?
If ultimately automated computer systems are acting on behalf of people that need to carry out a task, so I'm not exactly sure what they're trying to get at here.
Yeah, I think this is probably more opinion related than...
Yeah. Does anyone have any thoughts on that one? I mean, I would just categorize it as opinion.
No, it's... I mean, it's a policy question. I mean, how would we implement? Mm-hmm. How would it be implemented?
Right.
Yeah, I'm not sure that gets us any place different, but it's...
I just don't have any brainwaves on how we react to this one or if we need to do anything.
Certainly not with respect to the survey.
No, I'd let it slide.
Okay. Moving on to row 52, needs a none option to stay consistent with the no option of top questions in R8.1.
Okay, so that refers to...
This is Susan. Is it referring to question 73? Should be a none? No.
I think the open, the none is equivalent to the first line, isn't it, Susan?
No. I think they actually might be referring to question 74. Needs a none option to be consistent with the no of R.8, which is question 72.
Okay.
I think they're referring to question 74 when we talk about automated computer systems. I think.
Oh, well, that makes sense when the earlier comment on automated computer systems.
Right.
Okay. Well, I forgot we put in this question. Okay. This is the report, though. I don't recall this in our open discussion. Computer systems, people both indifferent. Yeah, we should have a none there.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed and noted. Okay, moving to question 50 or comment 53, the elevated access question should allow more than one answer.
Which one are they referring to?
I think it's 74 again as well.
All right, or do you think it's 72? This is Susan. Because they could be answering for as an employee or as a bomb, like, no, maybe not.
No, 74, there, I don't see much room there for multiple choice. It's one, two, or both. I think 72 makes more sense.
I tend to agree with Bob, Don, on that one, too.
Yep. I would agree. Can we set 72 to allow multiple selections?
In fact, comment 54 makes the same reference.
Does that change the wording of our options if I select multiple, though?
Is there any reason we just can't allow them to select more than one?
Can't think of any.
I think Wilson just needs to change the format, and then under it be... Please choose all that apply, or please choose any of the following.
Right.
Should we do that for all the questions or just 72 within the section? I guess 74 won't need it since it has the boat. What about 73, though?
There, sorry, I can mute it, Mike. There, in 73, there are layers of granularity. So the idea is to select the one that hits the level of granularity.
Alrighty. Moving on to, so I have here in the recommended action for comment 53 is just to adjust question 72 to allow more than one option and then change the text to please select all that apply. And moving on to comment 54, I think we agreed that this is also the same kind of issue as in comment 53. So I just referring the action up to 53.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, moving on to comment 55, finally a warm body from Chuck Gomes. Note that the fifth choice of the first question is missing something at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Should it be a yes or a no?
It should be a yes.
I'd be a yes.
Good old Chuck. Thanks, guy. All right, moving on to 56, unknown. These, except for the last one, are probably best for general users, although VPN may need to be defined for them. The last one is probably best asked of technical users. And just like with the other ones, we'll verify if VPN is defined. And then again, comment 20 is our master action here.
Do we define VPN in the hover definitions?
Again, I don't think that the survey is up right now, so we can't confirm that. But when we have Wilson turn it back on to make these changes, then we'll go in and validate. And I've taken that note to confirm if it has been defined.
Okay, perhaps maybe when we push back, we shall allow like maybe a week for all of the group to review everything before we publish it to the public, because some of these omissions are inevitable.
Yeah,
absolutely. In fact, Wilson, I think it would, you know, I think there's a good chance we may, if we don't finish the comments today, we'll definitely finish them by our meeting next week. So if it's possible, maybe go ahead and activate the survey again, and we can start, you can start making some of those changes. And then in parallel, we can also start looking for other typo errors and those kinds of things and confirm if some of these definitions still need to be defined or not.
Okay,
great. Row 57. Some of these questions seem to not allow for the maximal case of constraints.
I have no idea what that means.
Barry, I'm confused as well.
Well, since they didn't identify themselves, you know, we can't clarify it, so we have to put this one to the side.
Okay, row 58, these questions are poorly formed. They don't distinguish policy, operation, and protocol questions adequately.
All right, well, that's a nice opinion. I don't know, we categorize everything into the different sections. Does anyone have any further suggestions on how we can improve this, because I don't think that we can.
Okay,
I think it's just an opinion.
Well, it's an opinion, and some of them I don't think can be seen or distinguished anyway.
Yeah.
And certainly the policy part is out of scope. Operation and protocol may be in scope, but as stated, we don't really, there's no more adequate instruction for changing it. Okay, row 59, looks like it's a typo to add the space, and for the working group instruction, we'll move on, and I'll make sure that we note the action to clean that up. Row 60, if you are intending on keeping this antiquated junk, then registrars and registries need access to the data, and everyone else should get blocked.
Okay.
Opinion.
I'm really looking forward to some of the responses on the actual survey.
Oh. It'll be entertaining.
Indeed.
You're the type of next to us too, right?
Okay, I think that takes care of Section 10. And our next section is implementing an authorization framework. Starting on row 61, unknown, where do you see granulated access to RDDS on a 1 to 5 scale of importance?
Sorry, I thought we were the ones that were doing the survey.
Let me just pause this out. Is this a suggested question?
That's kind of how I'm taking it.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. No, question 80 is, where do you see granulated access to RDDS on a 1 to 5 scale of importance?
Oh, yes. Now I'm even more confused.
I will take the action to go back and try to find this response. I'm pretty confident that I captured this section of it. Essentially, what I had to do was cut and paste out of the PDF of responses for each one, and perhaps I missed the second sentence on that. So I'll come back to this one.
Okay.
Okay, row 62, these are probably okay for all users.
Opinions, it's great, thank you.
Well, that kind of, it goes back to our master of action on comment 20.
Right, who's trying to categorize all the questions. Okay.
Yep. Okay, what is granulated access? It should be defined, Chuck Jones.
It is in the setup, isn't it?
I think so, and regardless, I think I did a hover definition, but we can add a hover definition if we don't have one.
Yep, there's implement an authorization framework that is capable of providing granular per-end per-registration data objects, close to it.
Yeah. I guess you just missed that.
Well, do we want to go back to Chuck? This is... You're so precise about certain things.
Yeah, Barry, can you take that as an action item to circle back with him and say we looked at this and this is where we think it's defined? Does he mean something else? Or did he just miss that?
I'm thinking he just missed it, but I'll try to get back to him. He may not remember even filling these out.
Oh, he's pretty good with this stuff.
Yeah, I'm joking.
My guess is he missed it too, but just knowing Chuck, I want to make sure.
Okay. All right, moving on to 64. My expectation is that the WIRDS working group can come up with clear and mandatory implementation guidelines for the authentication framework that goes beyond simply recommending the use of HTTP authentication.
Sure.
Having been at the Weirds working group last week in Vancouver, don't be so sure.
There's a lot of interesting banter on that mailing list, Don, I do have to say.
Oh, yeah.
It's not within our scope anyways, right? So.
Yeah.
Is it fair to classify this more as an opinion?
I think it's opinion.
Yeah, definitely.
Wishful thinking? Does wishful thinking count as opinion?
Okay, row 65. I should not emphasize enough that granular access to data is together with that enough that granular access to data is together with IBM support the one reason why Whois needs a fundamental rethinking and reengineering. Hence, this is not optional.
On a personal level, I think that's why we're all here, but. It's really an opinion statement, I think, because we do have to go through the exercise of giving people the opportunity to say whether or not IDN support is mandatory, it should be mandatory, whether or not Whois overall needs reengineering. But I don't think this survey would be being done if we weren't already there.
And that's I got a feeling that maybe this is the secondary comment to row 61. I'll still confirm, but maybe that's kind of how they...
Oh, they're supposed to go together?
I think so.
That would make sense.
Okay, so I noted 65 as opinion and no recommended action. Row 66, being able to protect privacy is key.
Yeah, that's opinion.
Opinion. 67, this question needs refinement, such as where one means granulated access is not desirable, important is too ambiguous, i.e. it could be important to not have granulated access implemented or to have it, in which case an answer such as granulated access is important at a level of 5 is very misleading.
Wow, that just confused me. Sorry.
This is Susan. I think what they mean is important to have it or important not to have it? Like, define which direction it's supposed to go.
But it's there on the bottom, isn't it?
Where do you see granular access to RDDS on a scale of 1 to 5 of importance? Importance to have it as a 1 or importance not to have it? I can see where they could get confused.
Well, we just
depending on your perspective towards it.
Yeah. Why don't we just add a bracket in, like you're saying, after it that says 5 being most important to have it, granularly.
So that's at the bottom of the question.
Oh, it is. I missed that.
Oh, you're right, it is. So do they miss it too?
Okay. Is it the lesson of that we should move it up to the top of the question?
Possibly.
Yeah.
Okay. We all missed it, so it should go to the top.
And, Mr. Berry, I'll denote this as a global change in the survey, that we append it to the end of each question versus the bottom of the responses or options.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Give me a second while I take this note down. Okay, moving on to 68. If there's any sort of special access to data available, governments around the world are going to want it for censorship or worse purposes under the name of lawful access.
Okay.
Thank you for playing.
Yeah. Opinion.
Lots of opinions. Okay, moving on to section 12. Oh, I just lost network access. I'm going to take the sync function off so you guys can just migrate it on your own.
Okay.
And we are at section 12. Okay, row 69. In reference to our question, does the collection or use of any of these elements raise privacy or confidentiality? Confidentiality concerns? If so, please comment. The other category should include, for example, information related to payment, which would be useful for LEA.
I'm not sure what they mean by that. It almost sounds like they're thinking our should collect is in reference to payment versus data collection. Strange.
So this is in reference to question 84.
Oh, sorry, I was looking at 83. Okay.
I think
you're right.
Yes.
Well, actually...
But there's
no other in 84. I think it was 83.
Well, what do they mean by 85? Please comment. Or they're asking for an other category.
I mean, 69 is an exact quote of question 84.
Yeah. So are they asking to put in another?
It may make it more clear. I guess
how's 85 supposed to be read again? I'm looking at the PDF version of it. It just says, please comment.
Right. I think the original intent was, regardless of the answer, we were looking for, input as to their opinion regarding this.
Oh, so shouldn't 84 and 85 be conjoined? Because there's no comment box in 84. So I assume the comment box in 85 was meant to be the comment box for 84.
Read the question. If so, please comment. So if you select yes, then 85 will appear to the user.
Oh, pops up.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Why don't we add something, though, when it pops up to say relational to 84?
I think the survey tool does that. So as soon as you select yes, then it will expand out that the please comment section, and I think that it's even tabbed over a little bit so you know that it's to 84.
Okay.
But we can, how about please comment on question 84?
Let's double check that, because other spots in the survey show a small line of code where there's a pop-up or a jump from question or non-sequential jump. I'm just not sure that's the case here.
Okay, I'll take that note down. And so regardless, do we think that the other option is not necessary? Or maybe we should modify the question that if yes, please comment.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Okay, moving on to row 70, in reference to a question, to whom should access to audit data be available? Question is unclear. Do you mean who should be auditing? It should allow more than one answer. As a registrar, I'd want to audit my data, but I assume ICANN might want to audit it as well. LEA might want access subject to a court order.
So this should definitely be able to select one or more of the following.
This is in reference to question 86.
Yes.
And maybe we could clarify the question to say which party should have access to audit datable, comma, should it be available?
Could you repeat that, Michael?
Which party should have access to audit data, comma, should it be available?
That's, yeah, I agree, but I think the commenter makes an interesting point. Who's auditing are we talking about?
Well, that's another question, and it's a policy one as to who actually does the audits, right?
Well, I mean, as he suggests, ICANN hopefully will be doing more auditing.
Mm-hmm.
That's an opinion. But
ICANN
a registrar could be doing auditing, and any number of other organizations could. So I guess.
Right, or they could simply be requesting the audit data to review it. Right. It could be simply a requirement for the operator of the WHOIS service to retain or maintain auditable data.
Right.
And then any of those parties could want to interact with it. I don't know if it's in our scope to ask who should be the one responsible for doing the actual auditing. We're just talking about who's a stakeholder in consuming audit data. Because that would predetermine, that would give you an indication of what kind of functionality the system has to have. If you've got to distribute that auditable data to multiple parties, it's a different functionality than if it's just the registry operator, for example, that has to consume the data.
Right, but it strikes me that the answer to that question could vary, depending on who's doing the audit.
Right, but we're going to change it to say that they've got an other comment box, and we're going to change it to let them select more than one, right? Do you want to change it further, Don?
You know, and while we're considering that, rows 71 and 72 are in relation to the same question. Row 71, this radio button list is a mistake. The answer depends on the data. I'm hopefully assuming that that will be covered when we undo the select only one. And then row 72, this should be a multiple answer question. Technical information about the query, such as client web, third-party web, is useful for WHOIS server implementation and capacity planning, but government should have no access to the queries beyond what the public has, and the registrant should have access to any data that anybody else collects about their domain, and even that has risk.
So, Don, is there anything more that you want to do to change that question?
That's what I'm struggling. I don't want to make this any more. I sure don't want to add questions.
Yeah, we have a lot already.
Yeah. I'm going to make it. Let me go back up and look at the setup for the section.
Okay, great. So I've commented on 71, 72 as no recommended action, or basically refer to row 70 for the changes. So without any further comments, that takes us into section 13.
Well, wait a second, Barry. Don's going back to look at the setup to see if he wants to suggest any other changes.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Okay.
And I'm struggling here because I think that the language setting it up is good. But I see that person's point.
Don, I'm not sure I understand the point other than the multiple selection thing. Do you want to explain it from your how you see it?
Now, let me flip back. I've got three screens working here. I'm confusing myself thoroughly. Well, what the questioner is suggesting is that multiple entities might do the auditing.
Might do the auditing or may want to consume the audit data?
Might do the auditing.
Okay.
And the answer to who should have access could depend on who we're saying is the auditing party. I mean, if I can sue in the audit, I'm just throwing an example, if I can is doing the auditing, everybody should have access to it, but should everybody have access to an audit that a registry does?
I don't know that we should be asking the question about who's responsible for the audit itself.
Yeah, it seems like it gets more policy related than a technical requirement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, even the question itself is borderline policy almost.
I completely agree with that.
I would agree with you as well.
So, Don, I guess maybe do you want to, I don't think we should take it anymore to that, towards the policy side of things.
Oh, neither do I. And I'm not saying we should be saying who should do the auditing. I'm just saying, and I'm not sure how much time is really worth on this specific question, but I think the person's point is a legitimate one.
Okay, so should we do more setup in the question and say,
better yet, in terms of the section defining a framework and baseline set of metrics, does question 86 even provide value add to answering that?
Good point.
Good point.
I think we should scratch 86 altogether.
Yeah.
86 is all policy.
Yep.
Right. No, you're right. You're absolutely right. 86 is pure policy. Yeah. We're in the system, we decide later who can get to it.
Yeah, exactly.
But we don't, somebody else will.
There's a typo in 87 as well, if Wilson hasn't caught it already, between what and additional. Missing a space. Don, thanks for persevering on that.
Okay. Even if the resolution was a complete fudge, we'll just bump the question.
That's the right thing to do sometimes.
I know.
Okay.
All right, great. So I think that now closes out Section 12. As I mentioned, 71 and 72 point back to 70. Now that we're deleting the question. So that takes us into Section 13. And I think we can probably finish Section 13 and 14 and then probably call it a day. Section 13 is all new TLDs should operate ASIC who is. The first comment, such a small section doesn't include much about send who is option, not any discussion about what is sick. Are there privacy concerns, et cetera, really somewhat disappointing?
I think it fits into the opinion. I think, again, this is the train that left the station. The quiz has been around a long time. It's almost just a polite exercise in regards to legacy TLDs that are running thin who is versus a discussion of the merits of thick or thin who is.
Any other comments?
Yeah. For political reasons, do we want to do any rewording on this? All new TLDs should operate.
This is Barry. I think that's actually, all right, the title of it may be misleading. But the requirement 9 is specifically pulled from the requirement paper. So I don't know that we would want to modify that language.
Instead of saying the all in the title, why don't we just, for the title, make it a little less political, like on the title, like just say new TLDs operating thick who is, and then let them read.
All right. If we're talking about new GTLDs, is movement from a thin to a thick even an issue?
Negative. It's required that they be thick.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Don, we created these questions in response to a long discussion we had earlier. Steve Metallitz raised a bunch of issues, and this is what we came up with as being politically helpful, we thought, rather than beating up the existing legacy TLDs that are thin, which is kind of where this topic was originally going in R9. We decided to actually make the questions about assistive. That's why it's asking about standardized tools and time frames.
Okay, that's the last paragraph in the setup, kind of. Okay.
Okay, so I have for the recommended action that we'll just modify the title and remove all, basically, and just state new TLD should operate at thick who is.
I wouldn't even put the should at the as the title, just new TLDs operating at thick who is.
Okay.
And then let them read exactly what was under R9. We don't want them to think that we are, that is the working group's assertion.
Right, understood. Okay, documented that. Row 74, referring to what is a reasonable time frame for a legacy registry to move from thin to thick RDDS, never should be an option, of course. Otherwise, this just feels disingenuous, an attempt to ignore that this is the main point of contention on which the whole previous technical beating around the bush is really depending. sad and frustrating, delegitimizing, and many things again.
I don't have a problem adding a never bullet. Is anyone else?
No objection by me.
Okay. So, Barry, let's put a never button in.
Okay. Great. And row 75, I think the first question has a typo. I don't see why registrars would be involved in this, so maybe it should be about registries.
First question.
Question 89.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, because it's the registrars that have to do the work to upload their thick who's information to the registries if they're going to convert. Yeah. That's just someone who doesn't understand how that process works. Okay. Maybe just to make it more easier for people to understand the connection. Maybe we'll just change that as registrars/registries.
Yeah. That's good.
Question 89. Okay, noted. That takes care of section 13. Section 14 is who was, and we had no comments in that regard. So that carries us over to section 15 about registrars and registries, and then we have the general comments section, and we'll be done.
So how's everybody on time? Shall we push through and finish?
I'm fine.
Okay.
Move forward. All right. Section 15.
Go for it.
Wilson, are you okay to finish?
Can I go for it? Maybe I'll read the comment later on.
Yeah, that's fine. We're capturing the recommended actions, which is, you know, what you're mostly going to be doing after we're done with this anyway.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, moving on to section 15, registrars and registries.
So 77's typo, right?
Okay, column 3 title header contains broken text.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yep.
Mm-hmm.
And that's question 107, yes? Okay, moving on to 78. Whatever method, it should be additional data and not disrupt current data points.
Are they talking about returning the abuse point of contact information? In question 105, which I think they are, in which case I would just say that's opinion. Do I have that correct?
Could be 104 as well. Pretty vague in terms of as a point of instead of abuse point of contact versus data point.
Um, right, so I would just put it as opinion anyways, because I don't think there's any action we can take on it.
Yeah.
Okay. Noted. Moving on to row 79. The survey will take a long time to complete, and users should be warned of that. Some questions need to be answered by technical experts, some by policy people, and some by legal experts, but it may be unlikely that all questions can be accurately answered by any one individual. There are several ways to deal with this. Every item could have an not applicable or not my area of expertise option, or two, the survey could be divided into sections to be completed by different people. Organizations could be encouraged to respond to the survey using a team of people having the full expertise needed. Respondents should be asked to state whether they are responding to their individual capacity or representing their organization, and that survey should be modified to accommodate that.
So we had this discussion, we had almost the same thing, it looks like a cut and paste from earlier. And I think what we talked about then, if I recall, Barry, was that we were going to flag each section on a scale of expertise. So one end of the scale may be a technical user, the person in the middle maybe being ops focus, and the person on the other end being legal or policy focused. And we can put a scale on each section, a mark on the scale for each section. And of course, in the intro of the survey instructions, we can certainly say, you know, remind them that they can stop the survey, log in, save their session, log in with a different person can log in with the same user ID to continue it if they want to share it across multiple team members. Does that sound like reasonable action items to everybody?
I'm curious. It does bring up a question about multiple people filling this out, and maybe we're going to have to ask Wilson. But I noticed in taking the survey several times, once I completed it, the survey would recognize that I completed it, and therefore I think it's scraping my IP address. And I can't recall exactly how I could log in and out, but I'm concerned that if there are three people in organization A at three different desks, will they be able to log in to the single survey from three different machines?
Wilson indicated that would be possible to start and stop the survey if you wanted to create a user ID. Do you just want to follow up with him, Barry?
Yeah, I will. Because I do remember that the tool locked me out and wouldn't let me go fill it out again once I had completed it.
Well, we do need to make sure it can do that, because it's only fair. Some people, like, for example, I'm sure Chuck and his team will be organized enough to answer this across multiple resources.
Yeah.
I'll send the email out to the list to confirm that.
80 looks like it's cut off. Barry, just reading ahead a little bit. Apparently we have the power to do something.
Yeah, you guys should have a sync ability. My network connectivity has been popping in and out all day.
We're scrolled. The comment box stops at, it says, last comments here, submit button below. You also have the power too. And then it hangs in outer space.
Okay, hold on just a second.
Looks like a cut and paste issue.
Okay, I will go back into the original PDF and confirm
what that one was.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, row 81, the above are probably okay for all users. Again, I think that's our global assignment.
Yeah, that's editorial. Okay.
And 82, registrar and registry contact details are already public. There is no need for useful purpose to add any of this to who is output.
Well, that's opinion based.
Right.
Okay. And row 83, abuse contacts are unfortunately mostly black holes. But they're still useful on occasion. They're obviously the wrong address to use for technical problems. That's what the technical contact is for. An intellectual property or ownership complaint should be directed to the administrative contact.
Yeah, it's another opinion, I think. Don, I think you're right. Because, I mean, a technical contact is if something's broken or you have a technical issue. The abuse point of contact is it might be a perfectly working website that's been compromised and running a phishing site on a downstream URL. That's not technically broken. It's just really bad.
Okay. That closes out that section, so we'll move on into the general section. Row 84, and this is from the webinar that we had a while ago, and his comment was, or his question, should questions about privacy and proxy services be included in the survey?
I don't think that's in our scope. Does anyone else think that's in our scope?
No.
No.
Noted. Row 85, also from the webinar, and Thomas Ricard, should questions about who is accuracy be included in the survey?
Again, I would say not in our scope.
Agreed.
Okay, row 86 from Chuck, make it clear to users that if they do not understand a question, to select the no answer option or create an opt-out option for the question.
Well, I'm not sure that no is the right route, just because sometimes no is a qualitative answer.
Yeah. Do we want to have an opt-out button in the corner of every question? We'll never know why they opted out.
Well, it goes back to the point of whether they're the right audience for that question.
Right. Yeah.
So the better answer would be, like they said, not my area of expertise or something like that.
Well, that allows us to understand one reason why they opted out of answering the question.
Right.
What if they know the answer, but they chose not to answer it for political reasons or whatever, right?
Keeping the opinion to themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know we talked about doing this before, and the reason we didn't was we thought the survey was very busy already, and we didn't want to add more meat to each question, because it would be a universal thing in every question, right?
It's been so long that I really don't remember. Does the survey let you skip questions?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well...
And, you know, and I think the other aspect, the opt-out is really an incomplete survey at the end of the day. For whatever their reason are, whether it's too long or they didn't have the skill or they got bored, most likely that's going to be our real opt-out. Cool.
Yeah, I'm torn on this one because it's not, I guess I don't, given how much he thinks about this stuff carefully, Chuck's feedback is generally pretty valuable. I just don't see a way of doing this without us. I mean, the right way to do this, and nobody would then do the survey, would be is if you click on opt-out, then it pops down, a few standardized choices for opting out and then a comment box, which is just like answering a whole other question.
Yeah.
So the fact they can skip the question... maybe we need to make that very clear in the instructions right at the beginning of the survey.
I think that's the way to handle it, yeah.
Yeah, is that a scope for them?
Yeah. Okay, so Barry, that's what we'll do is make sure that people understand they're allowed to skip questions. A7 would be a lovely suggestion if we had a heck of a lot more resources to split the survey up and administrate it across multiple bodies and so forth, but I don't see us having the capacity and we weren't given the mandate to do it that way.
This is in regards to row 87?
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that some of the questions can be that clear-cut.
Yeah, I think some of the questions would be extremely, even that much harder to understand if it was out of context of the greater survey.
Yes.
And I think this goes back to us adding to each section about the appropriate skill to take that survey as well.
So 88, will the survey, does ICANN generally make it available in other languages?
I think when Liz was still with us, we addressed this in the webinar a while back, and I think we talked about it in our next working group meeting after the webinar, and she advised against this because they tried to do that in some of the other WHOIS surveys,
mm-hmm.
and it was overly expensive, and they didn't get the quantity of responses to justify doing it. And I'm not going to say that we shouldn't do it, but it was ill-advised in terms of expense. And I'm not even sure that the ICANN language translation people would be the right group to do that, which would mean that we would have to maybe go third party somewhere.
Right. So, Barry, we don't have a budget for this anyways, so we probably should just stick to English then. Unless anyone really objects.
No, I remember, and I can't remember it was Liz, but I don't remember somebody saying what Barry just suggested. But yes, in a perfect world, but I don't see how we can do it.
And I also worry that interpreting or translating these questions correctly would be difficult. It was hard enough for us to get the nuances right in English.
Right.
That's something I live with every day. Right. The last two comments, I copied these over. They were from Steve Shang, the author of the original requirements report. And after we had submitted the draft survey, he had included these two comments. The first one, the survey is long. I fear we lose attention of the respondents. You may consider shortening it and or also the incentives for people completing the survey. For example, you may consider asking each stakeholder group to submit one response instead of responses from individual members. This way you get to hear a representative voice of that stakeholder group. Stakeholder group also have the incentive to ask the questions diligently. This will make your analysis much easier.
So, again, I think we need to, in our opening instructions, encourage people that it's perfectly all right for them to represent a group.
Yeah.
And then any other thoughts on 89?
I'm curious, should we at least have one quick question in the profile Are you filling this out as an individual or a organization of some sort? And I'm not sure if our current profile really captures that or not.
If I recall,
I'm okay
the question
it.
Does ask that.
But let me go back and look.
Oh, yeah, it does. Question one, individual or end user, or then the other option.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it does. Thank you.
We're good. So that's 89? Everyone okay with 89?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's really interesting that Steve Shang would make this comment, because we pulled this stuff from a working report, staff working report, that included these things. So, it's a decent comment. I think the response to this basically, Barry, should be that the questions were guided by the staff report, and these elements were discussed in the staff report.
Very good. All right, that is, unless there are any other comments about that, that is our last comment to review. For the next session, there's definitely a couple of actions that I have. We may have one or two more to review in our next meeting if I find additional information from our PDF dump. But other than that, I think we're pretty much good to go with the public comment review now.
Awesome.
All right. Amazing.
So we will have another session again on the 13th. I'll send out a new agenda, but roughly it'll be to shore up these final action items out of the public comment tool. We should then probably review how we're going to handle comment 20, which is to divide up or list each section based on skill set. And I'll create a little side document that kind of consolidates the recommendations of whether it was general users or technical users, and we can move that forward. And then lastly, we'll probably be talking about the next steps for finalizing the draft, getting it up onto the DevElement server, trying to find the formal home, whether it be within ICANN or a URL redirect, and then determining a date that we turn it on and announce it to everyone.
Okay. Barry, I may have trouble attending next Monday. I've got something up in the air right now, but while we're on the call, I was wondering, Don, is there, if I run into trouble next Monday, I was wondering if you could chair the meeting.
Well, you beat me to saying that there could be
What's
a problem.
That?
Said you beat me to saying that there could be a problem. I'll be in Helsinki next Monday, and subject to the gods of the Skype gods.
we're both into an issue, Barry. You know what? Why don't we do this? Why don't we try and work through the remaining issues? Either we shift the date, or we shift. Or we work it through on the list, and we do a meeting on the 20th, I think.
I think that's the best option.
Okay, so let's knock back as much stuff as we can on the list. A lot of it's administrative that you and I can probably handle, and
great.
Wilson. And then the things that we need everyone to weigh in on, we'll throw out the list. If we don't get enough response, we'll review them on the 20th. How's that?
Great,
sounds
good.
Okay.
All right, that's all I have. Any other last comments?
Nothing from me.
Okay. Awesome.
Okay. So thanks, everyone. This was an incredibly productive call. I'm feeling much, much more optimistic now that we've plowed through this. So thank you. Thank you for bearing through for a 2-hour meeting. It's much appreciated. All right.
Excellent.
Okay.
All right. Take care, everyone.
Have a good week.
Have a good afternoon.